Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Need to focus today. I need more caffeine or something. That's where we're at.
I hope our patrons always enjoy that extra little few seconds they get at the beginning before we do the intro, because I always leave it for them because I'm like, a little bonus for you guys.
Yeah, because usually I'm not paying attention and Cassie's like, I hit record and then... It's like, I'll panic and I'm trying to like remember what I need to say. And
you know, I'm just spouting nonsense or singing random songs.
Yeah, it's fine. That's where we're at with life. It's fine. So, yeah.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, here we go.
It's another week.
It's a week. We're in April now. Cassie's birthday month.
Heck yeah. / week,
I guess. Technically, when this is, well, it is when now this, anyway, but.
I mean, yeah, when this comes out, my birthday will be on Sunday, which is also Easter. Also, yeah. It's National Unicorn Day.
Oh, that's perfect for you. There you go. That's amazing. That's good stuff. So, yes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know that we have anything.
I don't know that I have a whole lot at the top here. Just a reminder, you guys, that Grand Comic Fest in Grand Island is at the end of the month. You can still get tickets if you're going to be in Grand Island or you want to make the jaunt there. We will have a presence there, and we're excited about that. And Shannon, you kind of posted, I think, on your page about the fact that the stuff we just talked about that we're working on.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of mentioned, I think, already before, like, we're working on merch, you guys.
Yeah.
We will hopefully have a merch store launched soon. And I think an actual website. We technically have one now.
Yeah, it's not like a super interactive one by any means. It's just the basic info that comes
our with. Basic info and then, like, I think our podcast gets posted to. I'm not going to lie to you. I renewed the domain name. I haven't checked it in a hot minute.
No, I feel like, I mean, not that people don't check websites these days, but like it's all about the social media generally.
It definitely is. But I think if we can make it so it links to our socials, I think we're going to try to be real with it. Yeah. Have a real website, you guys.
I mean, and now that it's more of a thing, I think it's easier to like spend more time and invest our time in that. Whereas in the beginning, it was kind of like, well, you know, let's just do this. But
yeah, we've made it a whole year, you guys. So now we'll have, you know, the merch store, maybe like an area where you can submit story ideas or personal stories. Like, again, guys, we want to hear your own. I know a few people have shared. We haven't forgotten about you, but we want to hear your own personal stories, whether it's a case that hit close to home or something spooky and paranormal, whatever. We want to hear it. So yeah,
we definitely do. Send them our way, even if you think it's like nothing that big to you or, you know.
Yeah.
We don't care. We want to hear it.
Yeah, we for sure want to hear it. We love, and you know, even if you guys just want to shoot us a message and say, hey, and tell us how much you love us.
We like those messages a lot too.
You know, we love that. Constructive criticism is also not, just be nice about it, you guys. Okay.
Yeah,
we have
don't
feelings.
Be jerks. Yeah.
I will say, and Shannon, I told you about this, but I'm still, me and the kids had dentist appointments last Thursday, and their hygienist was so sweet. She came in just to tell me that she listens to our podcast regularly.
Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
She got her mom. She said our podcast is the only podcast she's gotten her mom to actually listen to.
Yay.
So thank you, guys. That means so much to us. You have no idea. Like,
I know. I was at a fish fry. Did I share that story? And this friend came up and was like, here, you have this really hot podcast. And I'm like, huh? Like, it's like I'm aware that we have it, but it's when you hear it from someone else that you have would like never expect to be someone to listen to it or whatever. I was like, I still think
of it as like, we only have like 10 listeners. You know?
Same.
Even though I see the stats.
I know.
It still doesn't feel like we.
It's so nice. Like, it's really humbling when those kind of things come up, you know. And then I kept saying to my daughter, I was like, did you hear what that person said? Like, did you hear that? She's like, yes. Yeah, Mom, I know. You've told me like 10 times. I was like, I know, but like, it was really nice and unexpected.
Listen, my son thinks that this Grand Comic Fest is what's going to be it for us. And we're going to be instantly rich after this. He's like, how much money do you think? I was like, but this is not a money making event.
Yeah. I mean, it's Grand Island, Nebraska. Like, it's not. Big times, but it's for Nebraska. I think it's fun.
And I'm excited to meet new people. You know, there's going to be other podcasters there and stuff. And so networking and everything like this, I'm really excited for this experience. I think it's going to be fantastic for us, but I just love how much our children seem to think.
I know that we're like, I know it's adorable.
I know. My son thinks we're going to make so much money off of this podcast that I can buy us a mansion.
I mean, I'll move in with you if you know, that's the case. Bless their hearts. I wish that was the case. But I mean, nope, we're over here still, you know, grinding on the daily jobs besides this. So,
yep.
Boo. But this is fun. I mean, it was just a hobby to begin with. And so like the fact that it's even where it's at right now is really cool. So.
The fact that we're a year into this is... Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Like, we went in this clearly not knowing what we were doing. If you've been with us since the beginning, you know that. You heard those first few episodes. Still learning things as we go. So we appreciate all of you. Thank you, you know, so much for just sticking with us and listening to us. It means the world to us. You have no idea.
Yeah, we love it. We're glad that you enjoy it as much as we do, hopefully. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So and, now, Shannon. It's April. I've got shows and movies to talk about at the end, but
okay, I have really nothing because I've just been like, I feel like busy with things and I have nothing, which is okay. That's, where we're at. We're on spring break over here and it's rough times keeping entertainment going. So I'm like, I'm not going to speed through my case, but I'm also, it's fine.
Listen, so it's fine. Everyone knows there's no set time frame on how long our episodes are. Sometimes they're short.
Sometimes I like shorter ones. Long. So, you know, like I'm good with it. And this one, we're actually going to go to Wisconsin because I was looking and we haven't done Wisconsin since like last year, sometime far back.
Wisconsin.
I know, because I was trying to find a state we haven't done. And I was like, well, the Dakotas or Wisconsin. And then I looked back and I was like, we literally haven't done Wisconsin since a Halloween episode that you did, like the little girl or whatever, if you remember. Okay.
Oh, that's
right. How long ago it's been. So I was like, we probably should plan out more like the months. I just kind of like
decided we did real on that. Good with that. So we had a discussion. So maybe when we meet up next, we do that too.
We'll plan it more. And not that anyone cares how we do it, but that's what we're doing. So we're doing Wisconsin today. And I felt I don't want to say that some cases aren't heavier than others or are heavier than others, what have you. I was just like, gosh, everything I found was like, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. There's torture. There's kids. There's, you know.
Is Wisconsin the state with the bone-breaking kid?
I don't know.
Oh, I know. That's on my list of things that I know it's in the heartland. Okay.
Sorry. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Oh my, maybe. I was looking for something a little lighter.
Yeah.
But,
no, but when you were talking about torture, this was like, I survived case, but like, ooh.
Oh no, no. There was a torture one in South Dakota that I almost did just because I was like, we haven't done that one forever. Like South Dakota. But I was like, I'm just not ready for that. And this case is terrible, but there's actually like, there's some a glimmer of hope in it as well. And it's actually, you'll probably remember it. And I'm sure anybody who, I mean, follows the news in general will remember this case. I remember this case, like I said, but I don't remember a lot of the details that went into it. So I was like, yeah, this might be a good one to like revisit. So we're going to be in Barron, Wisconsin. And this is kind of a brief background on one of the victims. So Jamie Lynn Kloss, I don't know if that name is going to jump out for you, but so she's, once I get into it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I totally remember this case. Cause it's not, I mean, it's a pretty well-known one, but like I said, I was looking for something a little different and some people might not really remember it. But she was born July 13th of 2005. So she's the only child to James and Denise Kloss. She was described as sweet, shy, and on social media, she has a lot of pictures with her friends and just a happy girl. So very, very brief background on her, but just so I can kind of set up the scene here. So on October 5th of 2018, 25-year-old Jake Patterson drove to 13-year-old Jamie Kloss's house. So Jake had previously seen Jamie getting off of a bus near her home, and he had just decided that he wanted to kidnap her. So he
decided. I do know this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it kept coming up, and I was kind of like, yeah, it's too new. But I was like, this is kind of a weird case in general.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of weird things about it. So, like,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it just clicked. I guess I didn't realize it was in Wisconsin, but
I know. Nope. That's why when it came up, I was like, well, this is a different, like, okay, mm-hmm. we'll go this route. So, so Jake, like I said, he'd seen her getting off the bus one day near her home, and he was just like, yeah, I'm gonna take that girl. So on October 5th, that first time, he goes to her house and he arrives there, but he notices that there's like a lot of activity inside the home, and he got scared that someone would see him. And so he leaves. He's like, not doing it today. So then 2 days later, he decides he's going to try to kidnap her again. So he drives there again. Same thing happens. Chickens out, which, I mean, good. That's not right. Like, I don't want to say chickens out because it's not like a thing to, yeah. But
I know.
So he's like, no. So then finally on October 15th, around 12:53 a.m., Jamie, who was sleeping, obviously, because it's the middle of the night almost, she wakes up because the family dog is barking nonstop. She looks out the window and she sees a car that she didn't recognize pulling into their driveway. So she immediately goes and wakes up her parents and tells her, and her father goes downstairs. Her dad's name is James. So he goes downstairs to kind of see what's going on. And he has Jamie and her mom. Denise, did I say what's her name? Let me find it. I had it in here somewhere. Denise. Yes. They go into the bathroom and they lock themselves in there just because they don't know what's going on.
And they lived kind of off, like, out in the
they're
country
kind of like bit. Out like, in the country area. Like
their driveway was a bit of a drive down, right? It's not like you were just going to use their driveway.
It wasn't like a neighborhood. Yeah. Like a normal where they're very close together. Right. And I'll post a picture too of their house, with the, you know, the post online and everything. So you can kind of get an idea. They had neighbors, but they weren't like super close.
Super close.
So close enough, but
I thought I remembered seeing pictures and hearing
like
stuff
rural area. So this time, this is obviously Jake that is pulling into their driveway. So this is the third time that he has gone, but this time he brings a shotgun with him. So he's dressed in all black. He has on a black coat and he has a black ski mask. He walks to the front of the house. And I'm guessing by this point, this is when James had already come downstairs, because I don't think he rang the doorbell by any means.
Right.
And so James, Jamie's dad, who was 56, also I should add that at the time, he's shining a light kind of through their glass pane, like in the front door, and he asks him to show his badge. So I don't know if he had said he was the police or if he just assumed or something.
Right.
But that was mentioned that he asked him to show his badge. And so Jake just yells back and he says, open the fucking door, and he fires the gun. So this shot is the one that kills James immediately. So he forces his way inside after killing James, and he immediately starts checking every single room in the house because he was so paranoid about witnesses being left behind, which is why he hadn't done this previously. So he checks every room and he approaches the bathroom, and of course that door is locked because we know that Jamie is in there with her mom. So when he can't get the door open, he just starts shooting it down. So he gets inside, and once he's in there, he finds Jamie and her mom, and her mom was 46, just side note.
Right.
So Jamie was hysterical, bawling at this point because they had just heard the shot that obviously killed her father, and her mom was comforting her. They were in the bathtub and she was like holding her. And also at 12:53, the same time that Jake was at the door, and they had heard the shot. Denise actually called 911 from her phone. So when they were in the bathroom, she had called 911. She didn't speak when the operator picked up, but the operator could hear the yelling, and then the call was disconnected. So the dispatcher tries to call back, and it goes straight to voicemail. So they had at least made that call to 911. However, they didn't really know what was going on, but they had enough to know where to send, like, dispatch to.
Okay, I was going to say, and I wondered, like, I know they can trace those calls back and stuff, but then I'm like, with cell phones now, like, does that make it harder?
I don't know. That's kind of what I wondered. But then also when it said it went to her voicemail, I'm wondering if, like, if it was set up and it had her name on it where they could say, yeah, like, Denise Klass, this is where she lives. You know, I don't know.
Right.
But it's pretty crazy how quick they do get there and how quick all of this really transpired. Right. Because so later too, I read in a different document that when he went in, he saw that she had the phone out and he made her hang up the phone. I don't know. Either way, they had at least made that initial call. But then once he gets in there, he duct tapes Jamie. He duct tapes her wrists and her ankles, and he puts duct tape over her mouth. And then right after that, right in front of Jamie, he shoots Denise in the head, right in front of her. So, after doing this, he drags Jamie outside the whole time, like, slipping on blood all over because the dad was down by the door.
Right.
The mom, like, slipping in blood, drags her out to his car, throws her in the trunk of his car, and drives off. So this is crazy because 4 minutes after that 911 call came in, the police were there within 4 minutes, which means all of that happened very quickly inside the house.
That was so quick.
I know. Insane. Now, this part gives me goosebumps because I remember reading this in the past too. It was 20 seconds after Jake left that house that he sees the police on their way and all of, you know, the ambulance and all of them. And he pulls over on the side of the road because to let them pass. Because that's what you do. And so they speed by him with their, you know, sirens on, their lights on. And he knew that that's where they were headed because they're kind of out there in the middle of nowhere. Right. And he's just there. They drive right past him with Jamie in his trunk. Like, doesn't that just give you goosebumps knowing that they were that close to, like, having him, having her? And yeah, so.
Well, and being the police officers who arrived and realizing you drove past the perpetrator,
right,
and you could have rescued this girl so much sooner. But I'm like, how do you know? Like, I know. Not going to necessarily stop any car.
Right. And you can't just stop that car and then be like, hey, let me search your trunk. Or like, because they don't even know yet what they're walking into. They don't know that she's missing and anyone's dead. But neighbors too, once they got there, the neighbors said that they had heard gunshots, but they didn't think much about it because hunting was common around their house. I mean, their homes, whatever, because they, like we said, they lived kind of out there. So, so while they're all investigating that, Jake drives Jamie 70 miles away to his cabin that he lived in rural Gordon, Wisconsin. So once they arrive there, he makes her change into different pajamas. He burns the clothes that she did have on to get rid of any evidence. Then he forces her under his mattress, his twin size bed mattress, underneath the bed, and he sealed all exits that went around his bed. Like, he put all of his personal belongings and, like, heavy things and just, like, basically cased her in there. So then he just went to bed. No big deal, right? It's fine.
Jesus.
Get a good night's sleep. So this is where Jamie stays for 88 days. So Jamie is held captive. And
I forgot it was that long.
I know. That's why I was like, I remembered it because it's pretty recent, but still far enough away, like, gone now that it's like you forget some of those details.
I was going to say, like, as I remembered it, for some reason, I thought it was like only like a month or a month and a half.
I know. I was like, gosh, 88 days. Like, you know, I'm thinking he takes her in October. And I was like, that's through all the holidays. Yeah. I mean, like, and knowing that your parents are dead, like, just watching them be executed basically in front of you. And knowing what this guy's capable of too. So like, that and she's just 13. Like, I would be scared as an adult having that, you know, but like, she's obviously going to be traumatized from witnessing that. And then now she's there and scared. Like, what is he going to do to me? Mm-hmm. So like I said, she was held there for that long. And most of the time she was kept under the bed, without food or water. And like I said, he weighted down the bed itself so she couldn't like slide the bed. She couldn't slide things around it. The crazy thing too was he didn't even live by himself. I don't know how many roommates he had, but the fact that there were other people there and he still brought her there is insane. He would often play loud music just all the time from his room to cover up any attempts of her like yelling for help. Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. Which, as a roommate, wouldn't you be like, dude, that's annoying. Turn that down.
Right. And like wouldn't weird. You be and like, why are you sussy all of a sudden doing this? Unless it's just commonplace for him, I guess.
I mean, right. Well, because when they talk about him, they always said he was just like a really quiet guy, very interested in computer games more than, you know, social life, just quiet, shy to himself type kid. So like, that is odd that he'd be blaring loud music.
Yeah.
And acting really weird. I don't know. I feel like your behavior would totally change if that was the case. And
right.
I don't know. I mean, maybe people are just not observant about things. It's like, we would be,
and,
I
mean,
don't
if
know.
They've got their own things going on and stuff, and you know, they're younger and they don't, you know, they're very
like bathroom. Like, are you making her use the bathroom somewhere where they would see you? Is she not using the bathroom? Are you actually cleaning up things? Like, I don't know. Yeah. There's just so many questions.
Is there a bucket? Like, yeah,
right.
What are you doing?
What ifs? And why is there a bucket in your room? Why are you like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how many people live there. That was just my initial thought, was like, really, dude? So, he, of course, you know, threatened her that he would kill her if she tried to escape. And he had that control over her because she's a 13-year-old girl. And even an adult, you could have that kind of control.
She
had just killed her parents.
Kill her parents.
And yeah, just right there, point blank. And so Jake, he later says that he knew that Jamie was very scared of him and she was too scared to try to escape.
No shit.
So yeah, you know, once again, he pretty much just has her under his control, or so he thinks, at least at this point. And he later said, I know that she was just fucking terrified of me. That was a quote from him. So, which,
yeah,
cool, dude. Also, like, I don't know that that's something to be bragging about. Like, cool. So because of that, he never put any special locks or anything on the doors or windows. And eventually they would sleep in the same bed. And he knew that she was too scared to leave, so he knew that it was fine. He would rarely let her out of the cabin. He only occasionally would let her out for like a quick little brief walk. But first he would check around the whole area, make sure there was no one walking around before he would let her out. He also told her at one point that he was going to cut her hair to hide her identity, but she really didn't want to, so he decided against it. So at this point too, it sounds like he's a little bit controlled by her too. Like, you're her captor, but she doesn't want to cut her hair. So you're like, okay. So it's kind of like the back and forth thing too.
Yeah,
where,
because the thing is, if he just saw her and decided he wanted to kidnap her, he's clearly got some sort of obsession with her.
Right.
And I wonder too, if by saying that she's like, well, I really don't want to. And he's like, okay, no. But also because like, if you cut her hair, then it's going to change her appearance. Yes.
Right.
And then like, does this change your obsession? You know?
Right. To a different, I agree. And so that was interesting. And I hate to even bring this part up because I remember when this case happened and I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm assuming she was sexually assaulted. But I never read anything about it at the time because I figured because she's a minor as well, they can't necessarily share all that. But then I did find, when I was doing research on this, that he admitted that he had sexual fantasies about her, But he said that he felt too guilty to actually act on it because he had made her an orphan and he like had sympathy for her, but they did sleep in the same bed, but he denies there ever being anything. And she never said that he sexually assaulted her either. So there's kind of a silver lining.
I mean, yeah, but I guess at least there's a part of him. Yeah.
He clearly had some remorse. I mean,
some remorse, or like he's clearly got some sort of weird, you know, like when someone becomes so obsessed with a person, it's like they think they're doing what's best for them and they want to take care of them. And I'm not saying that that's what he, but it kind of seems like in a way.
It's almost more like he does view her as like a child, like a caretaker versus a girlfriend or a sexual item to him, you know?
Maybe he would have eventually, like, if he had gone about things differently, tried to groom into that aspect. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. Like, maybe he would have tried for some Stockholm syndrome thing and like making her love him and maybe trying to get her to initiate.
Yeah. Almost. And maybe initially, like eventually she would, like being there for that long, but like.
Right. I mean, there's a reason why there's a whole syndrome about it. Right.
Exactly. Like,
there's a reason.
Which. Yeah. And I hate that I even wondered that, but initially when this whole case came to the front, I was like,
a guy is kidnapping a young girl. And, like,
you just assume this day and age, especially, it's sad. Well, and if him, you know, him pretty much stalking her up until then, like you assume that it's because of that reason alone, but no. So he never sexually assaulted her. And he never, well, he never physically assaulted her other than one time. They said there was one occasion that he had beat her on the back with a cleaning tool. I don't know what that entails. But Jamie had said later on that she can't remember what it was that triggered it, but that was the only time that he actually hurt her. So it actually was kind of like he thought of her as like a friend because it got weird. I mean, they would talk a lot and hang out. Mm-hmm. He even bought her a Starbucks drink one time. I read that somewhere. They said he had brought it for her and was like excited to give it to her, like his friend, his buddy.
Yeah.
And so I think too, like he was really buying into this whole thing. Like, I think not that it makes it okay, but I'm like, maybe this dude was super lonely and thought like, I need someone, I'm going to force someone to be my friend. And this girl is perfect for it, which like, no, once again, that's probably not the right way.
No. Yeah.
But it seemed like he almost did somewhat care about her because he didn't really hurt her like you would expect on any other normal kidnapping, I guess, which is weird. But he said that they talked a lot, but he never went into details about the night that he killed her parents because it was just weird. It's like the elephant in the room, but they never talked about it, he said. So, you know, he thinks that Jamie's just terrified. She won't ever try to leave. So on the afternoon of January 10th of 2019, Jake told Jamie he was leaving for a couple of hours. And like normal, he puts her under his bed before boxing her inside with all of his belongings, which was the normal routine anytime he left. I don't know what was different about this day in particular, but after he left, Jamie was able to push objects out from around the bed to squeeze her way out. So she gets out and she immediately just runs from the house. So she was just wearing like a light t-shirt, leggings, and she actually, I remember this was so weird. He had on his shoes. She had on his shoes because it was January in Wisconsin.
Right.
It's cold, you know?
It's so cold.
Like, I think she just threw on his shoes and ran. And I just remember thinking that was so like goosebumps. Something about that is,
I mean, she wouldn't have had her own problems.
No,
he would have taken her shoes.
Cause he took her in the night and she was in pajamas. Yeah. So she's just running with nothing. Basically. I think the adrenaline probably just propelled her like that. So she runs into a woman who was out walking her dog. This woman's name was Jeannie Netter. I don't know if that's right, but so Jeannie immediately recognizes her and she's like, you're the girl from the news. So she hurries and takes her to the closest neighbor's house. So they call the police and immediately Jamie just says, Jake Patterson killed my parents and kidnapped me. And he's been holding me captive a few houses down. So that's a lot. The neighbors there that were at that house that they went to, they said that Jamie just was super like calm, quiet, and just seemed very dazed. She was really surprised that they all recognized her from the news. Like, I don't think she realized everything that was going into looking for her.
Because she didn't.
There was so many things. I mean, when she was missing, there was an Amber Alert out, which I'm not sure where they got the information for the Amber Alert, because I know you have to have somewhat of a vehicle description. Yeah. It just said that that was the longest lasting Amber Alert in Wisconsin. Yeah. They had over like 8,000 tips. Someone thought they saw her in Florida. Of course, there were rumors swirling around that it was her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they killed her parents and then ran away together. Like, you know, of course there's going to be speculation about that when you don't actually know what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she was just like stunned. I don't think she realized that people actually were looking for her or cared for her, which is really sad.
Especially when both of your parents are dead, you're probably sitting there thinking like, well, who's left to look for me? Like,
yeah, you know? Exactly. And you're 13. Like, I put myself in my 13-year-old self and I'm like, so many things you just don't know when you're 13.
And she just was surviving day to day and doing what she needed to do to survive. So who knows if she even contemplated, she's like, well, my parents are dead, so who's going to look for me? Right. I just need to survive this.
Totally. Totally. So, she was just shocked about all that. So like the police take her to a safe place immediately. While they begin to look for Jake, it doesn't take them very long at all because he drives by the house, obviously on his way home, and they, you know, stop him right away. And he gets out of his vehicle and immediately says, "I did it," without any hesitation. I mean, good. Wait. Yeah. I mean, like, thank you for not putting up a fight and just owning it up. Like, you know, right. You did it, whatever. So Jamie obviously gets treated at a hospital, but doesn't really have anything wrong. I mean, because I think by the end they're like, I know they said he wasn't giving her food or water, but I think by the end he really was, because it sounded like, I mean, I think I talk about that a little bit more later, like more about her time when she was there. But once she's treated at the hospital, she gets released to her aunt, who seems to be very like involved, and their family was like a close family anyway. So she goes with her aunt. And interestingly enough, there was a reward that had been, you know, posted. I think it put $25,000 for, you know, any information that could lead to where she was. And because they said she rescued herself, the company that put the money up, they gave it to her.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, good.
It was actually, I remember that too, because I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Which is really good. And that's the least that can happen at that point, you know? And it was actually the place that had put the reward money up was, I didn't write down the name of it, but it was the company that employed both of her parents too. So I thought that was kind of a double, like, cool thing to do.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, after all of this happens, Jamie's family does not recognize Jake's name or his face. And so there seemed to be no connection whatsoever. You know, they thought maybe he knew them from somewhere and there was some what the motive was, but there was like nothing. So thankfully, when they do take him into custody, he really opens up and tells police pretty much everything and anything they want to know. He said that he had just, you know, seen her one day getting off the bus, and this was back in September. So like a month prior to him actually taking her. But he said that he knew that she was the girl he wanted. And he said, if it wasn't her, it just would have been a different girl. So either way, it sounds like he was planning on doing this regardless. So, and his family even said that they had no idea that there was anything off with him at all. There were no clues that would have led to this. They said he was just, you know, shy, quiet, stayed away from crowds. He was polite and just really was into his computer games. So pretty weird. Like sometimes there aren't signs. I don't think when people are like, did you not see the signs? But he did confess to everything, and he had no previous criminal history, which is also odd. So because he just pled guilty to everything, he's charged initially, I guess, on January 14th of 2019, they charge him with two counts of first degree, intentional homicide, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of armed burglary. Bail was set at $5 million, but why? First of all, why? I just wrote that down.
Be a bail.
I don't like that. Not that it got posted anyway, but fact that there's the option, like,
yeah,
just because he confessed doesn't mean he still wouldn't run given the opportunity.
Yeah, why was there bail at all?
I don't know, but I don't like that. So no. March 27th, he does plead guilty to all the charges except for the armed burglary charge, because the judge agreed to dismiss that, which I mean, I guess, okay, you're already going in for long
right,
enough,
but I mean, like, whatever. Did he steal anything besides her? And then that's kidnapping anyways.
I know. That's what I was like, on what grounds are they charging him for that? Other than just breaking and entering type thing? I don't know. So on May 24th of 2019, he was sentenced to the maximum of 2 consecutive life sentences in prison without the possibility of parole for the murders, plus an additional 40 years for kidnapping. They didn't pursue charges related to the 88 days that Jamie was in captivity. They said they did not want to have to bring her in for even more questioning and put her through the trauma again.
That's fair.
They said they had, sufficient evidence to just pursue a life sentence without parole, without needing any additional charges.
I was going to say, if he's got life sentence without parole, then don't make the poor girl be re-traumatized all over again.
Why? So I was like, I'm glad they actually let that one go. While Jake is incarcerated, lots of reporters would write to him and want him to answer questions about the situation and all that. And so he did respond to a lot of these things. He did apologize for his actions. He said that it was just on impulse. However, the evidence argues that he had taken measures to prepare for this.
Right, that wasn't impulse. That was the third time you were there.
Right.
You even said if it wasn't her, it would be someone else. So
right.
Thinking about this.
Right. I thought,
saw her and you took her.
Yeah.
That day.
That same day. You went back 3 times, as a matter of fact. So
over a month after you first saw her.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's not impulse.
So I was like, yeah, okay. And he also had said that he was planning on pleading guilty from the very beginning because he wanted to spare Jamie's family the trauma of going to trial, which good. And he also answered questions about the time that he had Jamie in captivity. So I know I had mentioned this a little bit earlier, but he said that they would watch TV together. They played games. They talked about lots of things. He said that they even cooked together a lot, which is odd. So I don't know if that was when his roommate was gone. How do you bring this 13-year-old girl out and be like, hey, that doesn't make
any sense.
Especially
because your roommate would have to know, even if they don't follow the news that much, they would have had to have known about this missing girl.
Right. And it's weird. Why do you have a little girl here in your 20s? Like, it's not like you could even say they're close to the same age. There's no way.
Yeah.
He just said that they cooked together a lot and stuff. And I was like, so I think he really just saw her as a companion, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad, I guess, it wasn't something more than that where she's going to be traumatized regardless because you
100%.
Killed her family. You made her an orphan.
Yeah.
But that was kind of what he said about the time that they had there. And I remember when this case first happened too, and there was really no details. And so I remember thinking what the hell happened behind those doors? And so when some of this stuff came out, I was like, okay, I feel relieved slightly that it was what it was. But he did actually have to register as a sex offender too, even though there was no proof of a sexual crime. I don't know if it was just because she was a minor or
maybe.
What, but what does it, I mean, he's going to be locked up anyway. So who cares? So later that July, he was actually transferred out of the state prison in Wisconsin to New Mexico, to a prison there for safety reasons. And he was also disciplined prior to being moved to New Mexico because of disruptive behavior. He would get in fights a lot. He was caught yelling at 2 inmates at one point saying, if you say that one more time, motherfucker, I'll kick your ass. So I'm sure they were saying you're a kid. Yeah, totally. So those were one of the instances that they said he's disruptive, but he's also he's not safe here, which I'm I really don't care when they're not safe. You kind of made your own bed there.
Yeah.
So he gets moved to New Mexico and he gets in fights there as well. A month after getting there, he got in a fight with 2 inmates. He was wrestling and punching. And the only way they got that to stop was a prison guard fired a beanbag round and it hit a railing and stopped the fight, I guess. So I just thought kind of just shows what kind of things he's going to be dealing with forever. Also, one weird side note, you might remember this as well. When Jake was in prison in Wisconsin, he was actually in a cell next to Chris Watts, who is the father from Colorado who had killed his family, the wife, the 2 daughters,
and
his unborn son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't remember that case, that was mind blowing. And they moved him to Wisconsin for safety things.
Yep.
And he ended up being next to Jake. And I remember reading this because it said how they became like buddies and they really bonded together. And it said that Chris just took him under his wing. And I'm like, right. Like, cool. No. Sick. Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. And, you know, they both had found faith and stuff. I'm like, nah. First of all, too, I don't think, what's his face? Jake. He hadn't even been there that long for that to happen. And Chris was writing a book. They're writing a book. So, like, he's going to say any of the things he can.
I hope one picks up his book. Gross.
No, that I know. Man. Isn't that sick? I know.
I thought there was a rule that you couldn't make money off of your crimes.
I don't know. But his mom was mentioned a lot in the article I read about how she was like, yeah, and, you know, Chris did this and that and, like, just standing by him. So who knows if it's something maybe underneath, like, his parents' name. You know what I mean? Like, if his mom is releasing it and using that as the excuse.
I don't know. I hope no one picks that up.
I know. Gross. I didn't even want to mention him because I don't feel like he should even get any mention. But okay, but yeah, enough about those nasty fools. So back to Jamie. So she was actually able to read a statement before Jake's sentencing, which she stated that he should be locked up forever. She said, Jake Patterson took a lot of things that I love away from me. It makes me the most sad that he took away my mom and dad. So Jamie lives with her aunt and uncle now. They said she's finally back to doing things that she used to do prior to this whole nightmare. Like, she dances, hikes. She's been busy reconnecting with friends and celebrating special occasions. Like, they celebrated her birthday that she basically missed when she was, you know, all that was happening. So a statement from her was even read by the family attorney that said that she wanted to thank everybody for the kindness and concern that they have shown her. She said, I'm very happy to be home and getting back to activities that I enjoy. I love hanging out with my friends and I feel stronger every day. Her family says that her father's strength and her mother's kind, caring heart are both qualities that have been passed on to Jamie. They said it is her strength and her heart that has and will continue to get her through this and move her forward with her life. So that's where she's at right now. And can you imagine, like,
that poor child.
So she's like, she'd be what, 18-ish now?
Was her dog still alive?
I don't know. No mention. I mean, I'm assuming.
Right. I don't remember ever hearing anything about the dog being killed.
I don't know. And I don't want to go down that road because I will freak out.
Well, we're going to say aunt and uncle took the dog.
Took the dog in.
She at least was reunited with her dog.
Yeah.
I hope she's in therapy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. So she'd be like, if that was 2018 and she was 13. So she's, at least like 18 now. And I tried to find like where she's at now and how, and that was the most recent information I could find, which is fine. Like, live your life. You don't need to be out in the public eye. But so that was like a sad case because of the parents getting killed. Yes. But it's like, I like that she was, you know, found. And it did say that because of her case that Wisconsin has really put more of like the light on missing children and missing people in Wisconsin. And so people are definitely paying more attention to that because of, you know, her being found. That gives a lot of hope to other families. So that's Jamie Kloss, for those of you who did not know, or for those of you that might not have remembered. But
God, I can't believe that was 2018 already.
I know.
I do remember the case. Like, it doesn't.
Same. Like, I remember when they found her because it was like, wait, what?
That missing girl? She was still alive.
I know.
I thought for sure there was no way they were going to find her alive at that point because that's so rare.
I know. It totally is. And I really thought, like, maybe she really did, like, run away with this guy because they really didn't release a lot of information on it. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that was not the case. I mean, it would, either way, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I just feel bad for her too. Like, just think, you know, she didn't do anything wrong. Nobody did anything. And all of that happened just because he like wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Like, he was bored. Ugh. It kind of sounded like. So, yep. That's where we're at. So jeez, that is the case of the week. We'll post pictures of Jamie. You can tell she's just like a little girl. Like,
I know. Yeah.
So
I mean, Wisconsin. Good on her. I hope she's coping as best as she can. I hope she has therapy. I hope she's living the best life she can.
And it sounds like she has a good support system. Like, her family's close with her and
yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling us that case. Yeah, there were some things that I didn't know. I guess I completely forgot it had been that long that she had been with him. And I'm glad to know that, like, he didn't do more, so.
Yeah, and I can't believe that, I mean, he even had her for as long as he did without someone else finding her versus her escaping. And I think it's funny, though, when he was like, yeah, she's too scared. I'm like, eh, no, she was actually playing you because she knew all along she was going to.
If she gained your trust,
she was smart.
She would get out.
For sure. So that's it. That's what I've got. But I have not really watched anything or read anything because I have not had time.
You should watch. I've been telling everyone, and so far the two other people I've gotten to watch it have agreed with me that it's fantastic. Watch Knock at the Cabin. It's on Peacock. Oh, right.
You did tell me that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will watch that. And I take it back. I guess I watched The Night Agent on Netflix, which is really, really good too.
Okay.
I don't know. Just so you know. It's kind of like a Jason Bourne type situation meets Scandal.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. But yeah. Knock on the Cabin. I'll check that out.
This is an older one. I had two clients bring up this movie. So I was like, okay, I'll check it out. I watched Prisoners.
Oh yeah. I remember you telling me about it. But
with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, I like him too.
It's like 2013. Hugh Jackman, his six-year-old daughter and her friend get kidnapped.
No, I did watch this one.
It's old.
Yes, yes, yes.
Shit was intense.
Yes. Is the friend, is it a white and a black girl?
Yes.
Okay, I've watched it.
Viola Davis is the mom.
Yes, thank you. There you go.
The dad
I couldn't remember.
Is a famous actor too.
Not that it matters, but I was just trying to make sure I was sticking to the same movie. Yeah, that one is really good. I totally forgot about that.
Yes, that one I finally watched. I remember seeing trailers for it like back in 2013 and I wanted to see it and I just never did. Finally watched it. That was so good.
I do remember that because there's a lot of like things where people that are mentally ill are being like accused of things, but you're like, I don't know.
I know. Yep. You're like, I don't know where this is going for sure.
Yes. I did watch that. That is a good one. Thanks for reminding me of what it was because I'm terrible with names.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear ya. And I finished Shrinking on Apple TV with Jason Segel or Siegel. Hilarious. You need to watch that too. There's only 10
episodes. I'll get back into it. My brother also is very into it and he keeps telling me. And I was like, yeah, I was bored on the first one, but I will give it a go.
Give it a go. Give it a go. And then did binge on Stars, that Courtney Cox show called Shining Veil. But now I'm like, okay, I gotta figure out something else to watch on Stars.
Stars. I was like, I need to get Showtime again because I need to watch Yellow Jacket season 2. That show's intense.
See, and I saw that's out. I bought season 1 on Vudu. I just haven't watched
it. Oh, yeah. You need to watch it. You would love it.
I know.
Intense. And so, I love Christina Ricci, and I can't think of who else. There's a lot of people.
So it's there. It's on my list to watch. I just haven't yet. So yeah, I didn't, like I said, I'm still like, I was listening to, The Priory of the Orange Tree still, cause that's like a 25 plus hour audiobook, but I haven't otherwise been reading much right now. I'm still kind of a little burnt out. That's what I've got for now. It's my birthday week.
Yes,
so I'm
excited
for that. I'm not really doing anything for it. This is like the first year I haven't actually planned anything for it, but I just feel like I'm just so tired. Like, I'm like, I don't even have the energy to try to.
That's how I am. I'm like, the older I get, I'm just like, yeah, it's whatever. Like, it's fine.
I love my birthday. I have some things I'm doing for myself and everything. So, you know.
That's good. I'm excited about your gift. I hope you're as excited about it as I am.
I'm always excited for a gift.
But yeah, that's all we've got. I mean, we would appreciate any rating and reviewing you do for us.
Yes.
Reach out to us on any of our social platforms.
We have
Send us
Facebook.
Stories. I know we've talked about that a little bit in the beginning, but yeah.
Yep, we have all the things: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You can email us. All those are always linked in our show notes as well. So you can always find us easily. And like I said, the Grand Comic Fest is coming up quickly here. So we're excited for that. But hopefully you guys, if you celebrate Easter or whatever, you have a nice and safe and fun Easter.
Yeah, it's like spring. I always think of Easter and I'm like, ah, spring. Yay,
I know. I'm ready for that nice weather.
Yes.
I know.
we can only hope. So
fingers crossed.
Yes.
But, yeah. Until next time, you guys, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.